When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Ben Standing will join us at 12:25. I'll try to talk a little bit before the end of the show about the RFK stuff from Friday and just a tiny bit on some of the other NFL and the college football playoff games. I have an opinion on all of you and all of the people out there that hated the playoff games that is far different. All right, phone calls. Let's go to Little. Little, thanks for holding. Go ahead, sir.
Kim, thank you for taking my call. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
You too,
shout
little.
Out to Heavy Metal. I tell you what, man, there was a coach that coached the Redskins back in the day, Kevin. He said, when we lose, it's like losing an organ. So to say that, I'm pretty sure he's going to have a gift, a Christmas gift for B-Rob. And B-Rob is going to be a message with that Christmas gift. You carry that football everywhere you go, to the shop, to Christmas shopping. You carry that ball when you sit down at the dinner table. We were four, Kevin. I like that we may get the big fella back. If we get the big fella back, and I think he's going to come in with a little bit of momentum, I'm talking about Allen. And I think we're going to be able to play that run up a little bit more better once we get out. But can you be wrong? Carry that ball with you everywhere you go, man, during this time off, man. And let's get ready to push this thing, Kevin. Let's get ready to pound that ball, man. Like Allen say, it's like lose the organ, George Allen.
Remember, George didn't want to hear about Christmas. You got plenty of Christmas. Yeah. Left. You're in the playoffs.
There you go.
Thanks,
that's your Christmas right there. All right, Kevin. God bless you.
Thanks, Little. Appreciate it. Let's go to Johnny in Chicago. Johnny, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Merry Christmas to you, Kevin. How you doing?
You too, Johnny.
Okay, look, two quick things for you. We got a quarterback, man. It feels so good to know we got a chance. Every game, Kevin. Every game we got a chance to win with this dude. I read a stat. They 10-5 this late in the season for the first time, Kevin, since 1991.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable, man. And another thing before I get off the phone, Kevin, if they beat Atlanta, we clinch. Do you play the starters the rest of the season at Dallas? Because I'm afraid of injuries, Kevin. So what would you do if you clinch Sunday? Do you play them next week against Dallas or no, Kevin? I'm going to take it off the air.
Well, you could actually clinch before you even play on Sunday night if Tampa were to lose to Carolina. I want that sixth seed. I want to catch Green Bay, and I want to have a game where you're going more likely than not that would be to L.A. to face the Rams, because Seattle's now in a big bind. The Rams clinch on Sunday with a win over the Cardinals. That last game against Seattle won't mean anything. So you know, if they get that clinch, you could also, I think, theoretically go to the NFC South winner. I'd rather do that. So I'd like to make a run at the sixth seed, and the Packers still have, after tonight, they play the Saints. They still have to go to Minnesota Sunday.
And they got
to
come here.
And then close with the Chicago. Bears at home.
Right.
So Right. I'd be playing this thing out unless you got real banged up. If you're really banged right. up, you got to take care of yourself and be ready for the game that matters.
One more thing, Kevin. Carolina is playing good football, Kevin, because that's not going to be an easy win with the Buccaneers.
I know.
All right.
No
have
doubt.
A nice one, Kevin. Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you too, Johnny. Yeah, no, Carolina.
Right.
Carolina, you know, even their losses have been winnable. They beat the Cardinals, eliminated them yesterday with a 36-30 overtime win. Let's go to Billy. Billy, go ahead.
Kevin, good morning. Good afternoon. The superlatives about this Kevin Daniels, Jamin Daniels thing is unbelievable, Kevin. There aren't enough adjectives to talk about him. The Cincinnati game, I personally had named the throw to Terry the resurrection of the franchise. The Monday Night Miracle, my brother Brian Five had a 6-beer fourth quarter. Yesterday, the Sunday Afternoon Miracle, we all had 8 beers in the fourth quarter, and for the first time since the 1990s, my dad, my brother, and I jumped off the couch in celebration of a victory by football team Redskins Commanders. What this kid has done for this community, the football, all of us, in this holiday season, so wonderful. He's resurrected a franchise. You can't put words around it. What he's done in a year, in his rookie year, the joy that we're all feeling right now, all of us as Commanders fans, and it's not going to end. I don't know where it's going to end, but this year has just been so special. Now we got an RFK Stadium coming back. We got the new ownership group. There's not enough joy. There's not enough candy canes. Christmas ornaments.
And not enough beers either.
It's insane. The guy is going to be the greatest.
You and I both.
He's healthy, the greatest that ever played.
Okay. I mean, I think earlier in the year you had him as the best in the game, better than Mahomes, et cetera. I don't want to put words into your mouth. First of all, you know I'm with you on this. This guy has he's elevated everything around him. The franchise was in the process of being resurrected. Dan being gone started that process. So we had already, you know, shed what we never thought we'd be able to shed. That dead weight we thought we were going to have to carry around with us for the rest of our lives. So that was the biggest blessing of all of the blessings, because the bottom line is, as good as Jaden is, if Dan were still the owner, he'd ruin it.
Yes.
He'd find a way to ruin it. So
he would already ruin it.
Yeah, but on the field, in the building, this dude, he's so good, and they're not a great roster. You know, they're far from a great roster. What did I say earlier, Billy? They'd be 5-10, best case, without him. Best case. He's that good.
There's not a team in this league right now, and I don't care if you're Kansas City or Buffalo, that wouldn't want that kid as their quarterback. Merry Christmas,
Kevin. Well, if
you're
Kansas City or Buffalo.
Enjoy it, man. Appreciate you. There's not
we wouldn't
the
flip him with anybody right now, because it's just, you know, it's the first impression here as a rookie, and he's having, thanks for the call, Billy, he's having an historic rookie season. Thanks, Billy, appreciate it. Let's go to Brock and Laurel. Brock, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call, Kevin.
Sure, Brock.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say, Jaden Daniels, when it comes down to a pivotal moment in the game, if they're down a score, down two scores, fourth down, I mean, he takes his game to another level. And that's where you measure a player's ability, is when they have to make that play. And I swear, against Baltimore and the first game and the game against the Steelers, if we got the ball back, I'm so confident that he would have, he plays his best ball. So literally the big difference is now our defense has the ability to at least give us a chance, get us a ball back, and let JD5 try to march it. And another thing I wanted to point out about Luke McCaffrey it's so good now that we have a third round draft pick receiver that was going to be our fifth or fourth receiver. For him to be able to contribute, it's like getting a catch on every possession, every return. We're starting at like the 35, the 40. So, he's a natural, and he might be good at running back, I believe. But that's all I wanted to say.
Well, he was a quarterback at one point. His kickoff returns yesterday were big, and he's dangerous. You can see it as a kickoff returner. I let me check out how many snaps, because he wasn't out there a lot offensively. He had one catch.
And he's not the fastest. He's not the fastest. He has
he's
great
pretty
vision.
Quick. I think he's got really good speed. He was only out there, so he was out there for the fewest snaps he's been out there all season long. 12 last week, 9 yesterday, 13% of the snaps. There's no doubt Crowder has kind of, taken his snaps since coming back. Look, Eckler is a big loss. Part of that loss was kickoff returns. You had in the cold yesterday a kicker that wasn't kicking it into the end zone. McCaffrey gave him phenomenal field position on several of those returns. Thanks, Brock. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Paige in Ashburn. Paige, go ahead.
Oh, hey, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm well, Paige.
I don't think you mentioned this, but it was a really big play that needs to be highlighted. But the last drive when Jaden Daniels goes to spike the ball and he recalls that Jalen Carter's in front of him, almost intercepted the ball last year against Patrick Mahomes on a spike. He actually does like this juke play
right, and
then laps it off was amazing. And so, I was like, how the hell did you remember that? You weren't even in the league at that time. So maybe you just wanted to comment on that a little bit and highlight that play.
Well, that's really interesting. I want to go back and watch. My memory is he took two hands and almost placed the ball on the ground to protect
that's
it when
correct.
He spiked
that's
it.
Correct. That's
yeah,
correct.
So
he put two hands on the ball and fake spiked it.
Yeah. That's Jalen Carter almost picked off a spike. Yeah, I mean, did he do it because that's what they coached him to do? They were concerned about that in that particular spot. That would be some real excellent coaching if they said, in this game, be careful. This dude's going to try to pick off a spike. This is how we want you to spike it. By the
or
way,
maybe it just came from him. Maybe it was his ball. Maybe. Game awareness. Maybe it just came
but
from
I think
him.
I,
you know what I mean?
I think he spiked it that way before, though. I want to say that he spiked it that way before. But you're right. I'm looking at the play right now, and they hurry it up. And let me see what Carter does. Does Carter?
He dives.
Is that Carter diving to the ground to try to pick it? Yeah, it is. He went for it. Really good pickup, Paige. Excellent pickup.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm
and Jaden points
away.
To him. Jaden points to him.
Kid.
Yeah, I did not pick up on that. Everybody, yeah,
maybe,
real quickly.
Maybe investigate this a little more and talk about it later in the week. But
yeah.
Anyway, Kevin, thanks. Merry Christmas and
yeah, Merry
great,
Christmas,
great
Paige.
Voice.
That was excellent. So
okay,
let me just make sure everybody understands what Paige just brought up. On the spike with 10 seconds to go, Jalen Carter, remember, nearly intercepted a Patrick Mahomes spike. So Jaden gets up, he spikes it with two hands protecting the ball as Jalen Carter dives for it on the spike with 10 seconds to go. And Jaden looks at him and he's pointing to him with the ball like, I know what you were doing to try to do. So yeah, they were prepared for that. Excellent pickup. Pete in DC. Pete, go ahead.
Hey Kevin, how are you doing? I love your show.
Thanks, Pete.
Happy holidays to you.
You too.
I just can't get over that win yesterday. Before Philly came to town, I just said, I don't care how they do it. Walk away with a W. And they have met and exceeded all expectations this year. When I looked at this season at the beginning, I said 6-11 at best. I'm happy where they're going. I mean, I know people are like, well, they could have done this better, they could have done that better. We're 10-5. We haven't had this kind of excitement in 33 years.
I know.
And it's absolutely phenomenal. Rookie mistake, someone brought that up. I think it may have been you. when he had that second interception, he threw off his back foot and in the middle of the field. That wasn't a very, that was a rookie mistake in my opinion. So, and also I look forward to getting back in DC and having a new stadium. I'm just excited where this,
it was a good weekend.
What's that?
It was a great weekend, you know, for fans of this team.
I've been a fan since 71.
That's the first season I remember it. As well. That's, you know, the first George Allen season is the beginning of me remembering this team as well. Thanks for the call, Pete. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yep. Let's go to DC. DC's on hold. DC, go ahead.
Great day, Kevin. How you doing, man?
I'm well, DC.
That's good. That's good, brother. Hey, I just want to say, man, I see the vision coming to life now of the brotherhood. No matter how many turnovers, no matter what's going on in the game, we have each other's back. We on the defense, you might start out giving up a couple touchdowns in the offense, give up the turnovers, but the offense will come back once you get a stop, and then we get a score. I also want to say, you have a great radio voice, Kevin Sheehan, and for years I've heard you on Mondays sound dejected. I'm glad that you're back to projecting your voice with great energy, because you are also part of the brotherhood, man. JD's birthday was last week. It was the same as my aunt's, my parents' wedding anniversary, and my mom's birthday. My dad and my mom was at the game. He's making everybody happy, and I'm especially happy to hear your voice back in a great mood on air, Sheehan. Have a great day. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, man.
To you, too. Thanks for the call. All right, we'll get to Ben Standing after this. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Standing covers the team for The Athletic. He is our insider on this show. You can follow him on X on Twitter at Ben Standing. You should read him in The Athletic, and he's got a podcast called Standing Room Only. Ben was there yesterday. We will get caught up on some of the injuries from the game, but we'll do it the way we do it every week on Mondays. I've talked for 2.5 hours now, taking calls. What'd you think?
I think we've just been breaking down Georgetown's win over Seton Hall.
You know what? Can I just tell you something? I literally, during the break, I knew they were playing Seton Hall, and after they had gotten that win the other night, I was curious as to what had happened because I did not know. And they held on for dear life at the end, and they're 2-0 in the Big East. Good for them.
Yeah, how about that? I had no idea either. I'm clearly joking about that. Jaden Daniels is becoming a real pain in the you-know-what for us sports writers, right? Because we're so ingrained that when this team starts to lose and starts making tons of mistakes, this is just going to be all over. They're going to lose. That's just how it's going to go. So at various points, you know, you got to start prepping. What are you going to write? And I'm writing, hey, you know, they brought Marshawn Lattimore in for these kinds of games, and, you know, it didn't really quite work out in this regard. And, hey, you know, this is another game where they go up against a team that's going to the playoffs with a winning record and they lose, et cetera, et cetera. And but the whole game you keep thinking, why are they still in this game? The Eagles should have put this way away 16 different ways. Obviously Jalen Hurts getting hurt, you know, helped that. But when it got to the 2-minute warning and the Eagles settled for that last field goal, my immediate thought was he is going to win this game.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I'm at with this guy. I mean, he is just unflappable over and over and over again. And, you know, I think for me, like watching this is another reminder that there's always this conversation about teams getting a franchise quarterback, and what people that term is just so misunderstood. People think it's like you draft a guy in the first round and therefore he becomes hopefully your franchise quarterback, or because somebody puts up good stats and is a good quarterback, you know, that they're a franchise quarterback. And I don't think that's the definition at all. I think the definition is something more akin to when everything else around you is going wrong, you lift the whole thing up. And this is a team, as we know, that they're missing pass catchers other than Terry McLaurin. You know, the offensive line for the second straight week, you know, there's some questions. I mean, they were giving the Eagles got basically as much pass rush pressure as the Saints did the week before. Zach Ertz played, but was basically a non-factor. You know, and look, the defense, you know, generally speaking, you know, they were put in a tough spot just because the offense could do nothing, and they did a lot better in the second half. But that was without Jalen Hurts, right? And yet this kid just goes in and somehow wills this thing to work. I mean, Zaccheaus and Crowder had a combined zero touchdowns going into this game, and they finished the game with four. The runs that Jaden Daniels had, I mean, that fourth down and 11 was just crazy. The one on the last drive was spectacular. And look, he obviously wasn't his best. It wasn't like his – he didn't have the cleanest game. The two interceptions were like legit interceptions, you know, an overthrow and a poor decision throwing across the middle while backpedaling. But the game on the line, I know this will sound somewhat hyperbolic, but other than Mahomes and Josh Allen, I'm sort of pressed right now to figure out who I would not want to face more than this kid in the last 2 minutes of a tight game. He's just, you know, I don't believe that they're the team that like people should be afraid of in the playoffs, but he is a player teams should be afraid of in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that right now, I mean, this is like a conversation for another day, but he's an elite quarterback right now. I'd find it really hard for somebody to beat me in a debate over what he is right now. He's truly one of the game's elite quarterbacks. He's actually one of the greatest, and I know it's only been 15 games, as a scrambler in particular, he's up there with the greatest we've ever seen. Lamar would be, you know, from recent times, but go back to Michael Vick and Steve Young, you know, and way back to guys like Staubach. He has, you know, he's got great vision, great feel. You brought up the run in the final drive where I forget who he juked at the, you know, about 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, but he's got, you know, when people said to me during the offseason, oh, he's just RG3, no, he's got vision, he's got spatial awareness, he's got feel, he's got wiggle, he's got all those things that make a great runner, a great evader of pressure. I mean, he is a bad play eraser. And to your point about franchise quarterback, no matter what, you know, how you want to define it, and everybody has a different definition, when you're talking about an elite quarterback, the trait that you're talking about is you don't have a great team, but you elevate it to the point where it can win games and beat good teams. And that's what he did yesterday. I mean, it was all about offensively his right arm and his two legs, period. That's why they won the game. And when they get to the postseason, you can't count him out against anybody because of what he can do. He can elevate all around him. But anyway, what else?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just, you know, remarkable. And you know, this is, you know, it's like for me, whenever we talk about like NBA, who are the best players ever, what you do in the final few minutes of a game matters so, so much to me. Statistics are great, but like if you're doing it over the first 40 minutes or so, and then you don't want the ball in the last few, or you don't come up big, you know, you're going to lose some sway with me. Same thing, same argument I kind of made with Peyton Manning over the years. Great stats, but how many times in big spots did he look lesser than the guy we've seen? Again, it's only 15 games for Jaden Daniels. We can't go too crazy on this in terms of what we're seeing. But at the same point, how many times this year in the clutch has he said, "Yeah, I want the ball right here, give it to me"? He never blinks all that stuff, it's true. It's not even hyperbole. It's just what keeps happening. And, you know, again, to the point of where this thing is going, you know, barring the unforeseen or, you know, the things that, you know, whatever that could happen down the line in someone's life, I don't see how this isn't going to work to the nth degree. And now they just have to get the pieces around him more. And obviously Adam Peters will have $100 million in cap space this year and draft picks and going forward. So this is, you know, we've talked about this for a while, but just another more evidence piled on to say that, wow, I mean, they really do have something pretty special here.
So let's talk about what, you know, the aftermath and Marshawn Lattimore not being out there for, I don't know, was it the final two series? I picked it up, I think, maybe early in the fourth quarter, midway through the fourth quarter, that he wasn't out there. De'Ami Brown was hurt. What do you know? I know we'll find out more at 3:30 from Quinn, but just give the list of the players that were hurt in the game yesterday and what they were.
Yeah, well, we asked Dan Quinn after the game, and obviously there was a ton going on, but he said he didn't have any more for us at that point. Yeah, the Lattimore thing, look, we go back to the trade itself when it happened. Clearly, he's one of the better cornerbacks in the league, and that was a position of weakness. And, you know, they gave up some picks for him, but because of the previous moves, including the Dotson trade, they had a little bit of a surplus. So, it, you know, looked like a pretty good trade in that regard from an asset perspective. The question was, what's up with the injuries? Is he going to be able to stay healthy? And, you know, not even just this one hamstring injury, but just this the last two or three years where this has happened, where he's been hurt. And now, you know, he obviously missed several weeks once the trade happened. And now this happening in game, I mean, to say it's not concerning would be, you know, a lie, I guess, right? And I'm not just talking about, is he going to play against Atlanta? I just mean going forward. What is it with his injuries that he is just continuing to miss games? Hopefully, he'll, you know, whatever the training staff here can do with him in the offseason or whatever, maybe they can help do something that wasn't getting done before. So we'll see. I mean, look, obviously, you know, it was a mixed bag of results for him early on in the game when Hurts was in there. Ironically, I thought that you know, he made some good plays on A.J. Brown, and we saw him travel with the Eagles' top receiver, which is something we wondered. But, you know, the start of the second half, we can quibble for sure about the pass interference calls and whether all three of them were. But, like, you know, there was something going on there, and the Eagles were not afraid to go his way. Obviously, A.J. Brown is their top guy, but they have other weapons, unlike the Saints, who were petrified to throw his way. So, you know, this wasn't a game that necessarily showcased the upside of what he can do. And by the way, Saquon Barkley running for over 100 yards in the first quarter, the whole point of having a guy like Lattimore is to be able to stack the box and prevent that type of production again. Then when Hurts goes out, then they were able to quiet Barkley a bit. That's more on the Jalen Hurts aspect rather than, I think, the defense. So we'll see where he's at. Andrew Wiley was hurt late in the game, and De'Ami Brown a hamstring. So, yeah, we'll have to see what Quinn tells us today.
Look, I think Philly's injuries are really crucial to hear about today, too, because if, you know, Jalen Hurts can't go or Pickett can't go because he got hurt in that game, too. He went for x-rays on his ribs. Imagine if they have to start Tanner McKee against the Cowboys this coming week. You could take this division race till the final week of the season. Now, they play the Giants, and the Giants appear to be in total tank mode. They do not want to win another game. They want to end up with the top draft pick or certainly vie for it. But yeah, there are things in play for sure. We are talking, of course, to Ben Standing. They get Atlanta on Saturday night. They could clinch conceivably before that if Tampa were to lose to Carolina, and Carolina's been playing everybody tough recently. This matchup next Sunday night, by the way, the extended, not cold next weekend. More on the mild side. Maybe wet, Ben, but not cold. That's another thing we found out yesterday. I mean, it wasn't that bad in terms of the weather. It's sunny, not a lot of wind, but Jaden not affected by the coldest weather game he's played in his career.
Yeah, I was thinking about how many of the random narratives surrounding him questioning certain things as he checked off. I mean, obviously, you know, like you said, there wasn't wind, and that can, you know, mess up anybody, but, like, it was pretty cold, and, you know, he didn't look like it was bothering him at all. The touchdown pass to Crowder, correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, I seem to recall people saying pre-draft that he doesn't throw over the middle, and that's a concern.
Well, you know, I didn't say it.
Well, you know, yeah, ignoring that LSU had, you know, two dominant outside receivers, and the ball
exactly.
went to them mostly. So, you know, that box is checked. He got a slide in this game, right? His sliding's been much better the last few weeks. So, yeah, I mean, he's checking off a lot of boxes for sure. And, look, obviously, you know, depending on what happens here with – you know, playoff seeding, if they get in, you know, they could very well be at Philly if Philly's the 2 seed and they're the 7. And, you know, presumably it's not going to be, it's not going to feel like Hawaii in January there. So, yeah, there's going to be more to come. And not these next two games. Well, actually, you know, like you just said, it sounds like it'll be decent weather against Atlanta, and then Dallas is obviously indoors. So, you know, but in the playoffs, it's, you know, decent chance that would happen again. They'd have to be in that weather again.
It's amazing what we're watching, that's for sure. Real quickly, do you think there's any chance John Allen's back this week?
My understanding is there's a chance. I mean, I think, like, this past week I didn't believe that, but, you know, from what I've heard, I think there is a chance now. You know, I don't know how he reacted to being out there with practice the last few days. On Friday, though, he was wearing the standard jersey versus a non-contact jersey that he had on earlier in the week. So that's a sign of progress. So, yeah, I think there's a chance that could happen. You know, we'll have to see where they're at, right? Because there's a world where before they play the game, they've already made the playoffs, right? If Tampa Bay loses, I think. I think I'm right.
Yeah,
on
they're
that.
In if Tampa loses at 1 o'clock.
Right. So based on that, you know, maybe they could say, hey, you know, we like the progress, but maybe, you know, we wait on him. Same could be the same thing with other guys too, like Lattimore or whomever, if that's the deal. Obviously, also, you know, tonight Green Bay is playing. I don't imagine they're losing at home to the Saints, but, you know,
they play Minnesota on the road Sunday, so
right.
There's a chance, a decent chance, they could catch Green Bay for the sixth spot, and probably end up playing in L.A. against the Rams in the first round, and not end up playing Philly. They got a decent shot. I mean, Green Bay, I'm going to guess that game's pick 'em. Maybe Minnesota's a 1 or 2 point favorite Sunday, but if they catch Green Bay, they win the tiebreaker.
Right, right. So all these things have to be factored into how much you'd want to push a guy who's been out pretty much all, you know, since week 6. But yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely possible. And, you know, look, again, Saquon Barkley is the best running back in the league, fine. But you can't give up 100 yards and 2 touchdowns like that in the first quarter after the guy already clobbered you in the last game. He basically in consecutive quarters against the Eagles, he had, I think it was 183 yards and 4 touchdowns in 2 quarters. So the run defense is still problematic, and that's where obviously a guy like Allen, you know, could be a big help.
There is no doubt, and that has been my number one concern going back to very early in the season. And yesterday, and it's amazing to me, the discussion about their defense and their defensive improvement. You just have to look at their opponents in which they've had really dominant games. Saquon Barkley had 109 yards in a quarter. Once Hurts left the game and they were a one-dimensional team, I've already mentioned, Ben, you go back and watch this thing, there are 8 in the box consistently. There are 9 in the box pretty often. And there are a couple of examples of literally 10 players within 2 to 3 yards of the line of scrimmage and just begging Pickett to check out of it, which he did a couple of times and did successfully a couple of times. But if you can't stop the run with the quarterback not being involved in the run game and 9 players on average at the line of scrimmage, you got issues. I think the real issue is what happened in the first quarter. quarter, and whether or not, you know, that is more of an indication of what they'd be against a dual threat team, a healthy Philadelphia team. The game changed so significantly for Washington's defense when the quarterback, when Hurts left the game. Did you think Cornelius Lucas should have been called for a false start on the touchdown?
I mean, he definitely moved. I haven't gone back to watch it on the tape. The only question would be, you know, does he move? Like, he's the first one to move, but he's still moving on the snap. But, yeah, I mean, and look, somebody said to me, boy, did they take that play from the Chiefs? We've seen
yeah,
that.
With Juwan Johnson, right?
Taylor?
Juwan Taylor, yeah. Excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, I mean, yes, it looked unusual enough to be like, whoa, wait a minute. But, yeah, I don't necessarily know if they missed it, but it seems like they probably missed that call.
He would have just thrown a touchdown pass on the next play anyway. But actually, Pereira said through Greg Olsen that he didn't think it would be called. But it was very clear on a frame-by-frame replay that he moved backwards before the ball was snapped. But Pereira said they give the tackles benefit of the doubt in kind of the same way that you get that extra beat on the play clock, you know, when it's down to zeros and you don't always see delay a game called. So we'll take that. And you know, there wouldn't have been a 10-second runoff, as I've mentioned a few times this morning. And Jaden would have had still two swings at least, maybe three at the end zone. All right. Thanks for doing this. We'll discuss the schedule for this week. Happy holidays to you. I will talk to you probably later. I know I'm going to make an appearance on your podcast, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, man. I look forward to it as well. And, yeah, happy Merry Christmas to everybody, and we'll talk soon.
Ben Standig, everybody, from The Athletic. There are two plays in the game that I haven't mentioned that I want to go back and mention quickly from the game. I'll also try to sneak in a word about the RFK stuff and the college football playoff from over the weekend. Kevin Ciancio, the Team 980 and the team980.com. So there are two plays that I have not mentioned on the show from the game yesterday. The first one is the field goal that made it 33-28. Lucky snap and hold. Really good job by the holder. The snap was not great. They got it up. They kicked it. They made it. Elliott was 4-for-5 yesterday. The fact that Washington's defense was able to hold them to 5 field goal attempts in the game was really huge. 2-for-4 in the red zone was really big. But would have been, you know, an easier situation had they missed that kick. By the way, then you would have been relying on Zane Gonzalez instead of Jaden Daniels to get you in the end zone. But there's also a play on that final drive that was a busted play. They had thrown over the middle to Terry at the 17-yard line. They didn't call a timeout, and I was fine with them going hurry up there, keeping Philadelphia on the field. They were in good shape as far as the clock goes. The next snap was a shotgun snap, and Jaden looks, it seems that everybody's expecting maybe run, but he doesn't run it, and he's looking out in the flat to receivers, including Crowder, and I think it's Zacchaeus over there, and they've got their back turned to Jaden, and he has to run the ball up the field, and that was the play in which he came a little bit short of the first down, and they called the timeout with 23 seconds. So on that last drive, there was a miscommunication on a very important play. And it was either busted or perhaps, as calm and poised as our guy is, maybe he didn't know the play in that spot. I don't know what the situation was, but it was clearly not a called design quarterback run in that spot. That's not, I don't think, what they were looking to do. I think it was a busted play. All right, so Friday, just the last week with the stadium stuff, and then you get this standalone with the Senate and Schumer at 1:15 a.m. on Saturday morning. Insane, the roller coaster that we went through. And it, you know, it passed. And so it is now going to end up, the stadium site, the RFK plot, will end up with the city and in their control for the next 99 years. They will get to do with that plot of land what they want to do with it. And of course, what everybody wants them to do with that 174 acres of unused, you know, critical, blighted, underdeveloped, not developed at all land to try to bring it back to life is to bring it back to life with a brand new stadium. I think it would be phenomenal for the city. Everybody understands that. I think one thing that a lot of people, especially who are new to this discussion, missed on is that it didn't finalize a deal to build the stadium on the RFK site. Most of you know this, but just in case you don't, there's still another major hurdle to clear. Now the city can negotiate with the team over that plot of land. It doesn't mean that they will strike a deal with the team. It doesn't mean that a deal that they put together in some sort of, you know, commitment to one another, but still pending a pass in the passage in with the DC Council, it doesn't mean that it will pass with the DC Council. I had the mayor on the show last week, and she said, remember the stadium vote. It's not easy. The stadium, the Nats stadium vote, excuse me, the Nats stadium vote. 7-6, one vote, it passed by. So we know that there are already a couple of members on the council that are not in favor of a stadium. Plus, Maryland's still in this thing. What if Maryland's offer is just flat out much better than DC's offer? I think now the percentage chance of the city landing the team and the team returning to its spiritual home, as Josh Harris and Mitch Rails, I think, have referred to it, I think we're well north of 50-50, probably in the 75-80% range. Because, you know, a big hurdle was getting control of the land, which it looked like it wouldn't happen, you know, late Thursday night into Friday afternoon, into Friday evening. And then it happened with a standalone Senate vote after the other bill had been passed without it as a rider. So, but you still got to cut a deal. That's still got to happen. Mayor told me that they had had conversations. It's not like they're starting negotiations from scratch now that they have the ability to use that land, the city does. But still got to get a deal done. It was great news. That combined with the win, you know, nice early gifts for Washington sports fans and Washington football team fans in particular. Last thing before we leave you for the day, a lot of complaining about the college football playoff games. You know, not one competitive game. The closest game was a 14-point win. Well, 10 points actually was the closest game, the Notre Dame-Indiana game. But Indiana scored two late meaningless touchdowns. These games were all pretty much one-sided. Notre Dame blew out Indiana. Penn State blew out SMU. Texas handled Clemson. That was probably the most entertaining of the games. And Ohio State absolutely demolished Tennessee. And there was a lot of complaining about, you know, the SEC team should have been in. Lane Kiffin put out a tweet like, this is great. Nice job, committee. Keep in mind, Tennessee got blown out. They're an SEC team. SMU and Indiana weren't the only teams that got blown out. And by the way, Indiana's a Big Ten team, and SMU's now an ACC team. Obviously, they don't have the cash that a Tennessee has. So I had a different view. I, first of all, loved the four games and the atmospheres, for starters. The intense atmospheres in South Bend, Happy Valley, Austin, Texas, and then the scene in Columbus Saturday night with a lot of Tennessee fans that made their way in. That was for a college football fan, home venue settings for a first round or a quarterfinal round. This wasn't the quarterfinals. It was a dream come true. That number one, I loved it just for that. Number two is we didn't have to wait over a month for playoff games. In the past, it's like, here are the four teams, and then it's like, you wait a month before you play. Oh, that's right, they're playing the two semifinal games on New Year's Day, or on New Year's Eve. You waited less than 2 weeks for four games. Now you're going to wait less than about 9 or 10 days for four more. That's phenomenal that we get that much college football, and don't have to wait a month for two games. You get eight games before you eventually get down to the final four. So I love that aspect of it. And look, playoff in college football, since we've had it, we've had more blowouts than close games with big-time teams that deserve to be there. I don't have any regrets about the way the committee seeded, picked the field. I think seeding the field has to change, but I thought SMU deserved it, and I thought Indiana deserved it. And yeah, they were not up to Penn State and Notre Dame, but Tennessee wasn't up to Ohio State either. You know, so we've seen those games. The quarterfinal games, you know, should be interesting. You know, Georgia may be without their quarterback. Penn State plays, you know, Boise, the Ohio State-Oregon rematch. Ohio State's favored, the 8 seed over the 1 seed. And Arizona State-Texas should be good, too. I enjoyed the four games. Yeah, I would have preferred more competitive games. But I love that we didn't have to wait long to get them. And we had incredible atmospheres in those four venues. Jaden Daniels is the story in this town right now. He is in the midst of one of the great rookie seasons, maybe the greatest rookie season at the most important position on the field in NFL history, and he added to his rookie season legend yesterday. That's it for the day. I am off the rest of the week, but I will be doing a podcast pretty much every day but Christmas Day this week. So you can find that at the Kevin Sheehan Show.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Merry Christmas to all of you. Happy holidays. Thanks so much for listening. It's appreciated every year. Feel so lucky to be doing this. Enjoy your families and friends, and I'll be back podcast style all week to get us ready for the Atlanta game. All right, that's it. Chris Russell's next.